Kika looked at Garin, and he knew she was remembering how it had been all those years ago. That knowledge made him feel good and bad at the same time. The experience was confusing.
Did your father ever tell you about the promise he made to me on the night we separated?
That he would help you if you ever needed it?
Yes. You came because of the promise your father made?
Because of that, and curiosity.
That's another trait you share with your father.
People tell me I'm much like him.
You are. I never expected to have to call.
Anything you need. My father made me promise. If it's money, simply tell me how much.
I didn't call for charity. I would never do that.
I apologize. I didn't mean to offend.
You've heard that I've fallen on hard times.
Yes?
It wasn't all my own doing. The business as the Schluter money has been in, businesses that we've had for years, factories and real estate, have struggled recently.
It's the shifting labor pool. Global trade and the outsourcing of manufacturing overseas has affected everyone.
That's what my investment counselor told me. Unfortunately, I tried to manage my investments for myself for a time, and what's left of our fortune is leveraged. If something doesn't happen soon... I've read about you, Garin. It appears you've inherited your talent for business and no-nonsense approach from your father.
Thank you.
I also saw an article on you in Forbes. You are something of a treasure hunter and collector. You know, your father loved the idea of hidden treasure. He told me about some of the finds he'd made.
Garin hadn't told her all of the stories. He'd only embellished a few of the more entertaining ones. In too many others, he'd arguably played the villain, though that was never a role he would assign to himself.
I called you here to offer you a business proposition. For hundreds of years, there has existed within the barony the legend of a fabulous treasure in Latvia. Early in the 13th century, one of my ancestors went to Riga in search of it. Are you familiar with the history of the Baltic states?
I am. Latvia was and remains a major trade hub in the Baltic Sea, but trade brings wars and conquerors. Russia wanted control of that area because of the deep seaports.
Your father was a very intelligent man, too. I always appreciated that about him, though I don't think I ever told him. The Vikings went there often to trade and to loot. There is a story that was handed down to us through Baron Frederick of Schluter, a Teutonic knight and devoutly religious man who worked to carry out the mission of the Order.
Garin took that information with a grain of salt. Kika had always overemphasized her ancestors' successes and altruism. Garin had known her father. Baron Erik Schluter had been a fierce military man, a warrior on the battlefield who in the end had been forced to turn from Hitler.
While he was there, establishing churches and spreading Christianity, he found in one of the pagan churches the journal of a German trader who recorded a legend from Kurland. According to the German trader, Vikings attacked a village in Kurland in 1104, somewhere west of Riga along the coastline. To a man, the Vikings were killed.
That's unusual. There had been no fiercer warriors than the Vikings during their day.
The villagers had help. There was a warrior among them they had rescued from the sea. He was a fierce man, of Viking birth perhaps, who carried a magical war hammer that could call down the lightning itself.
That caught Garin's attention. He wasn't sure, but he believed he'd seen references to such a relic in ruse books.
He called the hammer Mjolnir.
You do realize you're saying that Thor, the Norse god of thunder, lived with those people.
I do not wish to be mocked.
Baroness, you must at least allow me the courtesy of being caught off guard. We are talking about one of the most powerful entities in Norse mythology.
That's exactly who we are talking about. Thor left a treasure with those people.
What makes you think the treasure is still there?
Thor hid it. He left it there for his wife and children. Unfortunately, his wife died in childbirth, and he left the village.
He didn't take his fortune with him?
They say that losing his wife drove him mad for a time. Perhaps he still is?
Garin was silent for a moment. He knew that something existed beyond the mortal realm, otherwise he wouldn't have lived over 500 years. But the idea of a god living a hand-to-mouth existence among barely literate people was ridiculous. Still, legends were generally based on some small truth.
Wolfram has gone to Riga in an effort to track down the fortune, but there have been problems.
What kind of problems?
There is a woman who is believed descended from the Curonians. She's supposed to be a witch, as was her grandmother before her.
A witch?
She's more than just a witch. She's very skilled at killing. She managed to murder 3 of the mercenaries Wolfram employed to help him seek the truth over there.
What's her interest?
We think she's seeking the treasure as well. She had taken up with an Italian archaeologist named Mario Fellini. Wolfram arranged to have the man killed, but not before he involved another archaeologist. He sent her a package, but we don't know what the contents were. That woman has proved even more irksome, and it appears now she's hunting the treasure as well.
Who is she?
Her name is Anya Creed.
Garin's pulse quickened in anticipation. Anya's participation in the hunt put things in a whole new perspective. Sherlock's was a small club on the second floor of the building where Chasing History's Monsters was housed. The clientele were dedicated mystery enthusiasts. Book covers and movie posters decorated the walls. Anya got there before the afternoon rush and managed to get in the Thin Man table. Beneath the poster of William Powell and Myrna Loy, she opened her notebook computer. Taking the mini satellite receiver from her backpack, she logged on and checked the websites where she'd left messages. The first reply was from Norse Goddess at hallsofvalhalla.net.
Hey, Hammer Hunter, good luck with your project. Sounds interesting. I've been a fan of Norse mythology since the 3rd grade. Seems like everybody likes it. Comic books, movies, Stargate, Jim Carrey's movie, The Mask, even said the mask he wore was made for Loki, Thor's evil half-brother. There was even a Lost in Space episode where Billy Mumy found Thor's hammer and gloves. I'll look around and see what I can find.
Anya straightened for a moment to work the kinks out of her back. She was a little stiff and sore from the physical confrontations yesterday. She took a look around for Doug, glanced at her watch, and realized that not much time had passed, and resolved to return her attention to the message boards. Before she was able, though, she noticed that a nerdy guy in glasses sitting across the bar was watching her. 40-ish and lean, he had a notebook computer open in front of him. He wore an ill-fitting suit and had a beanie pulled down to his ears. When she looked directly at him, he glanced away, obviously embarrassed. Anya told herself she was being paranoid. A man like him couldn't be a threat. Loremaster at NorseArchives.org had sent a reply of his own.
Fascinating subject. Latvia, as you probably know, has a tumultuous history. Everybody that was anybody has walked all over that country. I was on summer break last year and went to Riga with my archaeology professor, and he was there doing research on the indigenous tribes that lived in Latvia prior to the 12th century. While we were there, we visited a bar in one of the small villages outside Riga. We were approached by an old man who knew we were with the university. I suppose he thought we might be generous enough to buy him a few beers, which we were. He told us this fascinating story that he said just wouldn't die. Apparently, Thor washed up on the shores of one of the Curonian villages, if you can imagine that, and decided to stay. While Thor was there, he fought off Vikings and amassed a great fortune that he supposedly hid. That's all I know. It's weird how these stories live for centuries, but you can't find anything to back them up. We stayed a few weeks, visited some of the churches, and read the archives left by monks and historians, and did a little work at one of the Crusader castles to gather information for the professor's book. But it was really more like one long beer run. The book met the professor's publisher parish requirement, and he got tenure. But I don't think anyone ever read it. Good hunting.
She took a moment to write a reply to Loremaster.
Thanks for the info. This sounds promising. If you don't mind, could I ask you to dig a little deeper? Do you have any maps of the area where you were? If possible, please narrow down the village where you heard that story.
I'd be interested in a statuesque Nordic masseuse.
Looking up, Anya saw Doug Morell gazing over her shoulder.
Didn't your mother ever tell you it was impolite to read over someone's shoulder?
Yeah, she was just happy I learned to read.
Doug sat across the booth from her and flagged down a female server with a smile. As busy as Sherlock's was, anyone else would have had to use a police whistle. Anya had seen Doug use that smile at night in a godforsaken part of Manhattan and seemingly pull a cab out of thin air.
What are you drinking?
Hot chocolate.
Anya closed the notebook computer.
What can I get you?
I'll take a hot chocolate.
You got it.
Not drinking?
Doug wasn't a big drinker, but he didn't have to be. One or two drinks usually made him pliable, and she wanted him pliable.
Coming in here makes me want to act like one of those tough guy detectives. You know, give me a shot in a dirty glass.
I think that was Bob Hope in Road to Utopia. And it was lemonade.
Whatever. I'm not into detective or lemonade. I'm all about monsters, serial killers, and deviants. What?
Never mind. Let's get down to business.
The waitress returned with Doug's hot cocoa.
Before you say no, I want you to hear me out.
Okay.
I want to go to Venice.
No.
That was hearing me out?
Yep. Everything after that, I want to go to Venice part, doesn't matter.
It might.
No, it mightn't. Okay, we don't have money in the travel budget to get you to Venice.
Doug, don't roll your eyes like that.
I don't know any other way.
You owe me for that stupid phantom shark and the Calusa Indian piece.
Correction, that wasn't the Calusa Indian piece. That was the phantom shark piece. And now, thanks to my connections, we not only got a price break, but we got a good-looking fake shark, too.
Anya leaned back in the booth and crossed her arms. She noticed that the geeky-looking guy across the room was watching her again. When he saw that she was aware of him, he looked away.
Don't go all passive-aggressive on me. You know I hate that.
I want to go to Venice.
Okay, okay. Tell me what you have in Venice and let's see if I can sell it.
Ghosts.
I can't have heard you right. Did you say ghosts?
Ghosts can be monstrous. Poltergeists are destructive.
You don't believe in ghosts.
I don't have to believe in them to hunt them. People love a good ghost hunt.
Anya, everybody does ghosts. We're trying to offer something a little different. You know, more sophisticated.
More sophisticated? My Calusa Indian piece now has a phantom shark in it.
It's a very sophisticated phantom shark.
Do you want to tell me how a phantom shark is different from a ghost?
Sure. It's a phantom, not a ghost. And it's a shark. People have a serious fear of sharks. That's why they do Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. Either a phantom or a shark would be enough to guarantee an audience. We've got both!
I'm doing this story one way or another, Doug. It would be easier to do it with the show's backing.
I wish I could help.
Anya's heart sunk, and she gazed around the bar, hoping for inspiration. She saw the geeky guy was watching again, and probably listening in on their conversation as well. Four men filed through the bar's front door. They wore long coats, and Anya didn't recognize them until it was too late. Dieter Humbrecht dropped into the booth beside her and jammed a pistol into her ribs. Another man sat next to Doug. His face went white. His hands came up as if he were a victim in a bank holdup.
Hello again, Miss Creed. Put your hands down, little man. You look like a moose.
Doug put his hands down. He looked worriedly at Anya.
He's got a gun in my ribs. Oh. Okay, okay. No talking. I get that. Oh!
The man beside Doug lifted a quick elbow into Doug's nose and bashed his head against the back of a high booth seat.
Okay, now we are going to get out of here. Miss Creed, you and I will go together. My friend will bring your friend. If you decide to be difficult, I'm going to have my man shoot your little buddy in the head. Do you understand?
Yes.
Good. Now, let's go, shall we?